Hey guys, welcome to another class. Today we've got a pretty nice mix of a philosophy called Supreme Final, which is a step-by-step guide how to not get trapped in blindness.
It's not a pizza topping.
It's not a pizza topping, Supreme Final. Where do you come up with this stuff? So cool. And we also touched on another philosophy called...
Five Developments.
We touched on a few.
Yeah, we talked about Searching Heart.
Searching Heart, One Heart, Two Gates and Searching Heart. I think we started with the six Bodhisattva characters, but we got tangentially knocked off course really quickly onto a whole other awesome topic. That's how good this philosophy is. It's unlimited, it interweaves, it never contradicts itself, and you can get lost in it in such a fun way.
Mm. Yeah. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome back, Shishir.
Yeah.
What was it, Tim? Did you want to do the...
Yeah, I was
did you have an intro?
I did.
It's about the wisdom poem. Does anyone know the wisdom poem? The one that starts, wisdom is to know that we have no wisdom.
Ah, yes. Sifu wrote a poem about wisdom to explain what is wisdom. Because if I ask you what is wisdom, you'll be like, it's like, you know, not being blind. And it's quite vague. But Sifu wrote a poem that explains... the character, how it would behave of a wise consciousness. At many different levels, this applies.
The post talks about six Bodhisattva characters and then talks about wisdom, like Sean was saying. And if you were to answer, what is wisdom? This way to answer that question is pretty unreal.
Yeah, this would put you in a spin. Only a wise person would understand your answer.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether but the actual leading, the first couple of paragraphs, actually quite a good little summary. I'm wondering whether we might kick off with the reading. The six Bodhisattva characters are...
generosity, discipline, patience, concentration, meditation, wisdom.
Mm-hmm. When the first five Bodhisattva characters are fully developed, then wisdom will appear. The main wisdom of a Bodhisattva is the wisdom to be aware of the truth of life.
Well, let's just go over that because that's pretty deep already. Wisdom is the result of the first five Bodhisattva characters. So technically, until you're naturally generous, disciplined, patient, and concentrated, and then you have the ability to sit and observe wisdom, like observe life through meditation, that's when wisdom appears. That's amazing. Like, he's got so far to go.
Yeah. Really puts a standard on it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like, I never thought of it like that. I thought wisdom was more easy to define than that, but that's pretty deep. Like, it's not until you actually develop the ability to be generous naturally, because generosity is straight away you're out of Searching Heart. If you're looking to get for yourself in greed, you're not in observing wisdom at all. So not until generosity naturally appears and you're disciplined to remain in generosity and you're patient to see that there's no hurry, no rush, you just enjoy the learning process, enjoy the process, and concentrated through those three disciplines, then you can concentrate to actually unite your power for meditation. To then, I thought that was...
I have a question, but it's kind of a little bit off topic, but...
tangent.
Yeah, so...
It's early for one of these, but we'll accept it.
It's about Searching Heart, and, like, I've heard that term used a few times, and I think I understand what it means. And I've also heard, like, Judging Heart and a few others. I was wondering, maybe not today, but at one point we go into the different, like, hearts or and, like, what Searching Heart really means.
Have you heard One Heart, Two Gates philosophy yet? The way I like to observe this is, right, if you go back to essence, that's before eyes involved. You go back to essence, it's like a calm ocean. There's no waves, right? And then it takes a little bit of movement to create a wave, right? Let's say waves are like our blind existing. Blind existing creates a wave. Without wisdom, we naturally create for blindness, for searching. We're either searching for pleasure, searching for happiness, or searching for security, searching for something in every moment. That's what our eyes are doing. That's what all our senses are geared for. Our subconscious is looking for something out of life. That's Searching Heart. And whenever you have suffering, whenever you have fear, frustration, anything, you're in Searching Heart. The other heart is known by many names. One is Appreciation Heart, one is Awakened Heart, one is Appreciation, Awakened, Joyful, yeah. Sincere Heart. What was
there? Brave one where you...
Brave Heart, I'm sure that's in there.
You made us do Qigong in front of everyone to demonstrate it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's one of them. The cool thing about this philosophy is it means that in every moment, whenever you catch yourself in suffering, it means you know where you are. You're in Searching Heart. And whenever you experience Dharma joy, it's back to essence. And whenever you take that Dharma joy feeling and then recreate something wise and create something through sincere heart or you appreciate philosophy, that's going into the other gate. So whatever you connect to, you become. And if we don't connect to wisdom, we are naturally in blindness in every moment.
Automatically, if I'm not observing wisdom, I'm pretty much in blindness.
Or you're asleep. So searching heart is basically all the negatives in life come from our searching heart. And all the Dharma joy, appreciation, anything positive comes from the other gate, which I think it was appreciation heart or...
I think so.
I thought it was.
I think so. I think the way I remember, a bit like a magnet. If you think of yourself and what you want, then that brings all that suffering.
Think greed straight away.
Straight away.
Naturally falling into greed.
And the other one, appreciation, is like you can appreciate everything. It's like actually the energy goes out. So one is like inside, I want something for myself. And it's very limited. It's like your version of life actually gets smaller, smaller, smaller. Oh, my problems are so big.
Mm.
I don't have this.
Mm.
If I had this, I would be happy.
Mm.
Whereas appreciation, it is unlimited things to appreciate. So it's right away like this is forgotten and you almost forget yourself.
And it's also like appreciate everything that is existing to allow. So you might be like, I've got to get my bus. Oh, I missed my bus, right? Angry. But if you were trapped in what I want, you'd be like, oh, this universe is amazing. The harmony for the planets to evolve around the sun, to create this earth for me to be able to breathe and have a healthy body, to have even run for the bus, whether I got it or not, life is awesome.
So it's actually really simple to get out of all the suffering. It's just like, oh, mostly because it's I, me, mine. And the other one is a different direction, appreciation direction, like you're saying.
Hmm.
So when you're in searching heart, it's because you're not following wisdom. Or the way to get out of searching heart.
I think you're automatically in searching heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're following wisdom, yeah. You're in searching
heart. Yeah, that's the basic.
Our 84,000 intention are so geared into searching heart that it's like not until someone goes, hey, read this post that I just put up on wisdom, and you're like, maybe I will. Yeah. And even to do that, you have to be like, prioritize this over all my other search. Have you ever get that? You're like, I should read philosophy. And your head's like planning the rest of your life, and you're like, concentrate. Scroll, don't look away. Distracting colours. Shiny lights. No, stay here. Finish the post, Sean. You can do this. It's only 3 more paragraphs. Notice how hard that is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's because searching hard is so strong in our subconscious.
And what about comparing heart and judging heart? There's a few other... Are they all kind of the same sort of...
Well, they all like...
Similar.
Different flavours of blindness. So judging heart would be to be like, oh, I can't believe it, you know, I could judge myself and be like, oh, I'm so blind, I can't do Tim's form, I'm so, like, the negative, unnecessary. Or to have an argument with someone and be like, oh, they're so stupid they don't see my angle, like,
I'm trying to help them.
Yeah.
That was the one I had today. Why don't they just let me help them? I was just like, that's the dumbest thing. Hearing myself, I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Judging can appear in so many ways, and Buddha explains to judge the case, not the consciousness. So you see someone doing something stupid, you don't go, they're stupid. You go, what they're doing is blind. But inside that life, although it's behaving in a stupid way right now, is a potential Buddha or Bodhisattva. So you don't judge the consciousness. You judge what they're doing as blind. So that takes the sting out of the attitude. So instead of being like, do it again.
Why won't you let me help you?
In that, it's like, they're an idiot for not letting me help them.
Mm.
But instead, he could be like, how am I doing it where they'll let me help them? It might be like a little bit more of a, maybe I'm not doing it right, or I'm being forceful, or I'm not speaking the right language, or I'm not using the right motivation. There's many layers as to why they're not letting
me. Well, one is the source of the problem. Oh, why can't they do that? And the other one is, oh, there's another way to see it. You know what I mean? It's right away light to be like, oh, actually, maybe there's another way for it to work. Or I'll just let it go.
Yeah.
So we have searching and we have judging, which leads into...
Comparing.
What's comparing heart?
When you look on Instagram and you see...
Someone else looks better in a bikini than I do.
Yeah.
So I feel bad about myself.
Do you know how long it took me to squeeze into that thing?
This colour just doesn't make my skin pop, even with my fresh tan. But it can appear in so many ways. Comparing heart, like, it can be with learning. Like, if I'm sitting in a class and someone else has an awesome answer and I've given an answer and it didn't quite get the response, little voice will pop up going, mine was better, I just didn't get it. Like, little things like that, you know, like, It's, and you don't really like admitting it's there, but it's there. It's there. I'm okay with it. I've been battling that demon for 12 years. It's there. Someone else catches a new Tai Chi move better than the Sifu's, like, oh, look how beautiful they do Tai Chi. You're like,
your one, you always do this weird thing, but like, this one is the one.
But see, was that weird? You always make it look girly and weird, yeah, when you do it is strange.
I try so hard. I've been training for 10 years.
So they roll into one another. So basically, the searching's there, the judging there. The comparing there, automatically.
So if someone says, oh, Tim does this move so much better than you, I'll be like, whatever. Tim's got way more time to, like, comparing and judging than Tim's not as cool as me, though. You should see me swinging. Like, judging will create comparing, and then they'll freaking manifest it. It just steamrolls.
Yeah.
And it just, that's causation. It just keeps going. And the only way to stop it, anyone have any idea how to stop it?
Ooh.
It depends on the situation, but sometimes if you recognize the feeling early enough, then you can, I don't know, create a scenario in your head where you take more lightly or just distract yourself with something else. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know why we follow what's called lotus wisdom?
Purification.
Yeah. Do you know why it's lotus is the key flower of Buddhism?
Because it grows from the muddy dirt, and it's the petals are like made up of a texture that doesn't allow the dirt to cling to them. So from the muddy dirt, everyone has the potential to be a perfect lotus.
The way that lotus petal, it looks smooth, but actually there's so many details as to how it blocks that everything that touches it just gets slide off. And like Olive said, every case is different. You need a different philosophy for each different blindness that pops up. So for comparing heart, it might be like, yes, he is better, but we're all equal in a different way. And rather than being judgmental and comparing about it, I'm going to pull him aside and go, hey, can you give me some advice on how to do that? Be humble and go, oh, maybe he can help me get it.
But
and then we share that wisdom.
In searching heart by wanting it in the first place?
I think to want to develop is wise. You don't want blindness, and it's something that's awesome. It's exciting. I love martial art. So I don't think that's a bad desire, and I wouldn't call it searching heart because it's not something you're searching for. It's something you have to develop and build.
Mm.
Ability isn't searching. It's not like running around looking for gold nuggets. It's like, okay, power from foot, stand straight, do it again. It's following philosophy, so it's training. So it's not.
What if your motivation to develop an ability is like in a non-wise direction?
If it's Tai Chi, you're going to hate that learning process.
Yeah. Because you get nothing for it. Yeah,
there's no instant gratification.
There's nothing there for you to get. And you can't stays there. You're only as good as your ability to actually do Tai Chi.
Yeah.
And you don't train it, disappears.
Yeah. So if you don't really want it from your own heart for the right will, it won't appear. But the same way that lotus defends off all the dust from many different layers of different angles of different... We have many different philosophies, many different angles to handle many different blindness from inside and external causation. If you're in comparing heart, straight away, the wisdom to counteract that is equal heart. Every life is equal.
Mm.
What makes you more or less special than anyone? So to think I'm less special, blind. To think I'm more special, blind. Equal heart means every life is equal. Every life has the same potential and can become awakened. So to think that you can or can't do something, you're already lost. Right? Every blindness you can think of will have a philosophy that just goes, and that's a waste of time. Oh, good idea, Sean. Get that out of
What's
there.
What's your vision? Hulug.
What, you're better than that guy? Hulug. Does that help you guys understand searching heart?
Because there's one that Sifu shared about a month ago, which I really, really like. Super simple. No personal, no issues. So all the searching heart, like searching heart's always going to be there. And the moment it has something to connect to, like Sean just does his sore form that I can't do. Oh man, that's a great form. I can't do that form. Because it's run there, it connects to something, it right away runs blind. Because that's this automatic programming. But the no personal, no issues, I found has really helped me to remove that. Because straight away it's like, oh, my automatic is to make it personal. So now my automatic should actually make it less personal. And my automatic is to make an issue. So my automatic should actually be no issues. Ah, it's not a problem. Big deal. When Sifu was like actually kind of given up on something, he's like, ah, don't worry about it. Sifu like, hang on a second. He could be super, super intense and then super zero connection. And you're like,
what's it go?
Yeah, you're like, oh, kind of wanted some Like, you know what I mean? You
I realize want the issue to come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've taken it so important for so long. Where's the issue? You can't just take it away. Just rips it out from under you. You're like,
And he, something I struggle with him is that he can go from full intense to full hold nothing in a split second and has no more. But then he's just like, oh, that's it. Don't worry about it. And you're just like, oh. But I still carry it around for ages, sometimes for weeks, months, and or years. But, you know, his ability to just cut it off.
If I let it go at all.
Push it down.
Lock it down, baby.
And that's because it's constantly running, and we're constantly topping it up with more nonsense. So that the practice to actually just accept, okay, I will create a personal issue about it. I'll make it personal with another issue, comparing. That's normal. So, you know, the wisdom always, Red Bull's always talked about the supreme final is just accept you will do that. That's totally normal, and that is what you'll do. Tomorrow you do it, the next day you'll do it. But just don't share that bit.
The supreme final? Do you remember the supreme final philosophy?
Number one, accept
that you actually still have blindness.
Accept that.
If you don't do that bit, it gets really difficult because you've got to act like you're high level all the time and you keep making mistakes and you're not allowed to admit you've got the blindness.
I used to have that problem.
Yeah. Not anyone who has that problem is probably not as good as us.
Yeah. When you get to as good as I am, you won't have that problem.
Maybe we should weed those people out. Yeah.
So accept you have the blindness.
I think the second one was to take your negative or blindness lightly, like, don't take it so seriously.
Yeah, the wording I like is don't have negative towards your negative. Mm. It's already negative. Yeah. Don't add like, don't I'm so it. Bad at this because I have this. Just, it's negative. Don't add anything to it. It's there. It's just like you've already got an attitude. You're already wrong and then you add a negative attitude on top of it.
Yeah, so you're like protecting the blindness. Like, you're not even willing to be humble to admit you need to clean it. You're like, well, I'm not perfect. That's part of who I am kind of vibe. You know when people say, I can't stop smoking, it's who I am? You're like, you didn't come out of the womb smoking. Yeah. Like,
no got a light?
So that, like, to have that attitude is like your ego's already protecting it and doesn't want to change. It doesn't want to actually get rid of it, doesn't want to improve on it, just accepting it, holding it, protecting it, using all its strength to not change this blindness.
The sequence was, there's a negative, we have negative there, and then that one is straight away defend it, as opposed to negative, accept it, don't add anything to it, just there.
So I used to have a really bad habit, and when anyone pointed out something I'd done wrong, my reaction was to actually have an excuse and explain why. Well, actually, it's not my fault. It was
justified.
Oh, it was so lightning. Like, my mum and dad decided to be a politician from the age of 10. They were just like, no doubt. He's a politician, born and raised. Like, he's just at like such a young age, I was arguing back stuff that I don't even know how it came from. Like, teachers gave you a bad grade. Yeah, that teacher hates me. And then it wasn't until I met Sifu that he actually sat me down very gently and said, you know, you have this habit to speak very sharply to someone who's giving you criticism. And he said, the catch is the people that have that are willing to tell you what your blindness is, they're the people that care about you the most. And then you're so sharp to them, you're going to be alone. No one will dare tell you your blindness. How will you ever improve?
No.
Sitting there like, you're blind. No. I'm doing it again. It's taken me years to get rid of it.
So we accepted we had the negative. All right. And then we don't add any more additional negative to that one. This is already a difficult step.
Yeah, just accepting is like already hard.
Already hard. Already.
Like, having to acknowledge that it's there, it's easier just to pretend like, oh, that doesn't, I'm not like that.
We haven't even done anything, it's already difficult.
So, you know what I mean? We're not making improvements yet, we're just accepting where we're at on the map. It's like, you are here. You know the mall, you are here? I don't want to be there! I don't want to be there!
I'm in heavy traffic this morning on Parramatta Road, it's literally 3.5 metres between me and that car. And in the time I went to accelerate, someone cut in there.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh man. And I was like, where am I going to go? It's literally a car park for the next 5 kilometres. It's like, what are you going to go? So I say, we're negative, we don't add negative. So what do we do? What's the next step?
Bring the negative to someone else.
Yeah, don't bring it to anyone else.
Yeah. Don't share it.
Yeah.
Don't share it.
Because as soon as you have that, and then you... Oh, you, like if that guy pulls in front of Tim and he gets out of his car and bangs on the window, like that's not going anywhere good from there. No. Hey.
So an example for your negative that you brought up, would not sharing it be how would you not share that? Because that's like
a... Sifu was rounding on me one day and he was blowing up at me and I was just sitting there not saying anything. He's like, huh? Don't you have anything to say back? And I just was like, I'm taking on my power not to say anything right now. And he was like, that's good for you. And he was like, oh, you go outside. So, not reacting, just go into observing mode. Screensaver, just switch off. Do your best to not bring anything bad. Power save, auto save, whatever you got to do, go into observing mode. You can say something like, I'm just processing all that is going on around me right now. Come up with a little catchphrase like, I'll be with you in a moment.
Your call is important.
Your call is important.
If you have something negative in you and you can't really purify it, and if I'm not supposed to bring it to someone else, how do I purify it?
Oh, Maren put her hand up. She's on this.
See, I always thought that you could bring a negative to someone else if you believe they have like a higher understanding and have the power and they're willing to help you. So it's kind of like how sometimes in class when we talk about things that are upsetting us, we're kind of coming to the space where we have people who can teach us and they're all willing to help us process it and move in the spiritual direction.
I have one caveat on that. It's all in how you bring it to them. So if I walk in, I've had a bad day and Tim goes, how was your day? And I go, oh, it's crap. And I'm... that mood's coming out, right? Even though I'm seeing Tim as the person that's going to help me, I don't need
my
to
dog.
Sorry, man, I couldn't hear you. I've got my death metal really loud. Monkey is the best at this. Monkey will sit and figure his problem out till he can't do it on his own, and then he'll come in the most gentle way and be like, his voice, you've never heard it so gentle. He's like, hey, Sean, I just had a... I just wanted to ask, like... And he fumbles. He's so nervous to bring it to you because he doesn't want to bring it to you. But he's driving himself nuts. He needs advice. He'll put it hypothetically, no personal. It's nothing that I need you to be stressed about. Can you give me some advice? And it's beautiful. The way he does it, it doesn't stress you out. But then you get other people that will just be like in a really bad mood about it. And you feel like you've got to go and deal with the heaviness to bring them out of it. Like... there's many people have been like this. And funnily enough, Supreme Final was a philosophy that Sifu designed mostly for Red Bull.
And there's a reason it works, because what are the four parts of causation?
Intention.
All right.
So I think parts, sorry, I probably used the wrong phrase. The four, you know, the sequence of causation.
Yeah, how we create,
how we create causation.
Intention, thinking, speaking, acting.
Okay. Two of those are what? Look at it, a clean
internal.
Two of those are internal and two of those are?
External.
Right.
Which ones affect other people?
The externals.
Right. So the internal ones you can keep to yourself. I said to Sifu, I go, so I can have as much of that going on internally. He's like, yeah, you just bring yourself suffering. And you do it for too long, you eventually bring that to others, but at least you're not sharing it. You're not creating that karma. And to Sean's point before about the lotus system, if you have that internal, but then you are aware you have it, and since Sifu, sometimes when he's really stressed, he'll talk to himself, and he'll be like, oh, I'm watering the plants, da da da, hello little plants. He'll actually say the words, so it's like his feeling will follow that. So even if he's not feeling joyful, he will sing da 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 to recreate that.
Because usually that stewing in your head is you're supporting your blindness. That's all you're doing. You're like winning the argument against whoever the blindness is with. That they can't hear you, so you're just like, I'm going to smash this argument when it finally happens. And chances are it'll never happen, and you sit there like, you ever do that? You like sit there practicing an argument?
We got some hands, some honesty. Yeah. Oh, wow. We got some
chairs. It's unanimous.
So, and why that brings us a lot of suffering is what are the five developments?
Provision being?
Yeah.
Receiving, thinking, acting, awareness.
Okay, and that describes the relationship between?
Being and consciousness.
Right. So when we are thinking a lot, what new information are we getting? What are we receiving?
Not much.
Not much new stuff. Mostly old records.
Broken record. Ding, 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 ding. That's why you're wrong and I'm right. That's why you're wrong and I'm right. That's why you're wrong and I'm right.
You're generating new information when you're thinking.
No, no. It's the same information.
We're sorting out old information.
Not
sorting out. Just stuck on.
No, but like,
yeah. Actually just repeating one bit of information over and over again, ignoring all the other possible information in the universe. Okay. Except for,
oh,
wow,
well,
I'm right.
That argument.
Well,
yeah.
I'm right.
Yes. But like, what about if you're just there thinking? I guess you're just recalling old information.
But when you're just thinking, you're probably like trapped on an old desire or an old worry.
Well, like, oh, what am I going to cook for dinner? Like,
that's quite idle. That's functional. I'd let that one happen. Yeah. That's important.
And is the result joyful? Like, oh, so many great things I can call it. Or like, oh, I've got nothing in the fridge. I'm doing shopping.
I hate cooking. Yeah. I'm just going to do it.
We're not going to clean.
Like, if you're doing that, then that's good. Just me on that one? Or is it? Yeah.
I think everyone gets there. Sivri once said to me ages ago, he was like, how do you always... Because I'm... I don't know if you noticed, but I'm usually in a pretty neutral or good mood. Like, it's not often you'll see me strutting around kicking stuff and in a bad mood. It's not that I don't get in bad moods. I've just got this idea that I've just always had. And it's... Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I just think, well, it's not his fault I'm in this bad mood, and I don't want to bring him into my bad mood. So I pretend I'm not in a bad mood. And pretty soon, I'm not in a bad mood anymore. It's like you let that mood go.
You're good at this.
Yeah, yeah. And Sifu said, because I go through some crazy stress and people just don't even know about it. People that are really close to me will be like, are you all right? You've been like a little bit more thinky lately. Like, but it's pretty, and I said to Sifu, isn't that stupid though? Because technically I'm not actually cleaning the problem. I'm just pretending it's not there. And he was like, it's like at one layer you already accept whatever mood you have is an illusion. So you don't take that illusion seriously. You just go and create positive illusion again. And he's like, that's a good habit because it means that actually problems come and go really fast. They just disappear. There will always be problems. This Fijian guy said it really well. I was like, how do you get any work done at work? Because he's so laid back and like, oh, sometimes I just at work and we have a big window and I stand there and just pretend I'm outside. And I'm like, how have you not gotten fired yet? You know? And he's like, oh, no, the women at work, they love me. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, why? And he's like, they're all so stressed and they worry all the time. And I say, ah, don't worry. Even if you fix these worries, more worries come tomorrow. So relax. Either you fix this one today or tomorrow is the same. So they love that because that's a natural instinct for him. That's so wise, you know. Like, you're always going to have problems. Why take this one more important than that one? They're all, you're just going to be problem solving. Just get used to it. Life is a series of fixing problems. So it's like, if you have that attitude, you're like, it's not a problem. I've dealt with problems before. This is just another problem. And I'm going to fix it. It's the attitude towards the problem that makes it a bigger deal. So yeah, Sivu said to me that was actually really wise. I was like, oh, that's... So with the intention, thinking, speaking and action, that's a good way, is you break it off into what is going to annoy other people and what is only going to annoy myself. Because I'm already annoyed. I might as well cut it off there and save everyone else the stress. If I don't have to bring it out. And so supreme final is accept you have the negative.
Don't bring negative to your negative.
Don't bring the negative to the negative. Just accept it and don't make it a bigger deal. And then don't bring it outward. And if you do that, you're living in...
You already do that. That is the standard of not follow blindness. From what I can remember what Sifu said, that is already amazing standard. Already. Because that's not a normal character.
Yeah.
For humans.
Yeah. How many people do you know that have a problem and don't want to share it with you?
Yeah. So we set the bar super high, like we've got to create a magical world for everyone. No, we just accept we have the blindness and don't share it. That's already pure. We accept we have that and we don't share it.
So
you're not happy with that, you're like...
No, I have a question. A different... It's sort of... It's no, that's great.
her question face sprung up a few sentences back and she was
can we check that everyone's understood that point?
Okay.
Because I think we give ourselves a hard time on that.
That's the basis to not be in blindness.
Not following your blindness.
Not following.
Yeah. So you still have it, you're just not, you're not, so like if I have blindness and then I go and spread it, I'm throwing karma. That blindness becomes a karma that's then going to come back to me. Mm-hmm. But if I stop that it goes out, it doesn't create more of it, doesn't spread it. And that's the first level of not following blindness, is you don't create more blindness from it.
So I mostly, when I have a problem, don't want to bring it to other people, because like sometimes it feels like a weakness, and that's because I'm in searching hearts. I'm like, oh, you've got to not admit that you have a problem. Like, oh, you can't do this. So then I think that I do something very not wise, is there, and I try to solve it myself, and when I can't, I get like angry at myself. And then like, so sometimes I don't know where to on this scale of like, when you have a problem and you're like causing suffering for yourself because you can't solve this problem.
So many people can deal with this technique in many different ways.
Mm.
One way Sean does, one way Red Bull does, is they actually admit they have a problem. The first thing that has like, ah, I'm tense. You mean they actually just say it and they just admit it, and then there's no actual blockage, and actually communicate to the other person they have that issue.
But so Red Bull does it in such a playful way when he's in a good mood. He's like, I'm tired, and he's like, it's that voice, but instead of him coming up going, I'm so tense, like, you don't want to hear that guy. He's like,
yeah. Or keep it to yourself until someone else is like, are you alright? And they're like, I'm just really tense. Does he want a massage or be in opposite rooms? So one way that you could admit it and talk about it, and then you make it light. What are other ways to deal? Because there's many ways. So saying like, I don't like it. When I say I don't like it, I don't like something, but I accept that I may do it in a light way. Makes it less serious.
It's like a joyful, like creating a joy out of a negative. Like, still you're admitting I don't like it. Like,
everyone here
has problem solving techniques.
Yeah.
And this is an ability you've got to develop. It's not something you're going to go, oh, I just walk away and don't have negative. No, like, this is a skill.
How do people do it?
Yes, I'm interested.
Everyone here has a unique style of doing it.
When you have a problem that, and it's like, it's brought you down, you're like really angry or really upset about something. And so what I tend to do is I don't share it with anyone. Mostly because like I'm like maybe like ashamed that I can't do this, figure this out on my own or something like that. And so then because I never share it, it becomes like a bigger thing, and I'm like trying to solve it, I'm like, I can't figure this out, and I get, it's like more suffering. So then the question was, is like, how do you like
get through that?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
resolve that.
Oh, I lost it. Oh, we've got two hands up. Wait, Belle hasn't spoken yet. Let's let Belle have a dig. She's good at this.
I think I'm really proud to ask for help.
Like, too proud to ask.
Too proud to ask. But one thing is that I've learned that, like, the result will be better if you ask for help, you know? Like, why is such a big deal for me to ask for help? I don't know, like, I used to think, like, I don't know, I need to solve this by myself, too proud. But then as soon as I realized that I being proud, it's not a big deal for me to ask for help. It's like, oh, maybe taking my ego too seriously, and then admit that maybe I'll need the help, which is like the first step. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if I have that technique for asking the help, but at least acknowledge that I'm being proud is the first step for me to realize that, oh, I need to ask for help. This is too big for me to realize. And then it's just like, go and ask for help, someone that you know that will have a good answer for you.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Very good one. Yeah. Good layer, yeah. Some people love to be helpful. And if you bring them something they can help you, they'll be like, that was awesome, I helped. And you'll be like, thanks. And the problem's not there anymore, and you helped them be helpful. So sometimes find the right person. Don't go to someone who's potentially going to break at your problem. Like, hey, I'm dealing with like stress about global warming. What? There's global warming? Oh.
So, and in your example as well, you went from searching to find the answer into, what was the next stage?
Anger.
Oh, yeah.
Which heart?
Sorry?
You went from searching heart? I need to find the answer.
Comparing heart to like, why can't I solve this? Or judging
firstly,
myself.
Firstly, then you judge yourself.
Yeah.
So one blindness, we cover it with another one.
And I'm like, oh, it looks like Belen doesn't have this problem, but I have it.
So what we're sandwiching blindness on top of blindness, and then
it'll eventually go away, right? Tim, what happens? It'll go away, right?
When you were finishing explaining to Brooke, and then you're like, huh! And that was the result, because it's just blindness on top of blindness. It's like you got dirty hands, you're cleaning your dirty face. Yeah. It's like not getting anywhere. So the technique to try and clean that, as I understand, can't. Whatever you do at that point is personal. I said the similar. I was like, how do I do it without personal? He's like, at that point, oh, you have no chance. You have so much personal to that, pretty much everything. Anything you touch will have that personal. So you need to find either another kind of energy or a way to change it. Olof does singing, or you're outside in nature, or you do Tai Chi. That energy, you can't just like, and I'll switch that off.
Those layers are going to be good.
Yeah.
I find that whenever I have a problem like that, before I go to someone else, I'll try tension release, because when I'm released tension, I think more clearly, more practically. It's less manic and panicky. It's actually more functional. If that doesn't work, I go out into nature. Go for a swim, go to the beach, bushwalk, get outside, change anything. I'll go for a sauna, something to shock my system. Go to the gym, do a workout, put that anger into some some energy work. And then when I've exhausted all avenues and I'm still stuck, that's when I go to someone I trust for help. Unless someone I trust sees me before I get to those stages and helps me, then it's, yeah, sweet. But usually you'll find that when you release tension, so many of the problems disappear. It's like, it's not even a problem, actually. You're like, oh, why didn't I just do that from the beginning? I should have done that yesterday, like, before I needled my brain. You know those brain needles that you drop them and then all the chatter goes away? Huh? No, like acupuncture. That gets rid of problems too, but it creates a whole lot more.
And that's such a simple, you know, because you can use the philosophy from so many different angles, but actually just to reduce the tension, actually, because it's the tension that keeps creating the problem so quickly.
You know how that ego from being judged that you don't know and that you should know, you know, you hold on to, and then you don't want to ask for help. What kind of helped me with that as well, because I had it a lot, was to observe it in a different angle. So instead of thinking that I don't know it, and I'm going to get judged, and I should know it, so it's more like, why not be open to other people having different strengths? Like, because everyone has their own strength, and everyone is good at something. So instead of looking at it as my negative, I look to see their positive. Like, they're good at that, so it makes you more, or make me anyway, more like open and willing to go, oh, okay, maybe she can or he can share something that I'm not aware of.
That's awesome. That's high wisdom as well. That's one of appearing in all spaces wills, isn't it? To always appreciate the spiritual qualities of other life. That's a will to actually, rather than the first one is like, oh, well, I'm not that good at that. Yeah. Heaps good at that. Rather than like, it's kind of like I not respect the fact that they've developed something valuable, meaningful, and that I can learn from.
Yeah. Appreciate that they have that ability, and then they, if they're generous, they'll share that ability with me and teach it. And there's no copyright, so you just copy people, like try and copy whatever you see other people doing. And the way I got rid of my defensive habit, giant dog, is as soon as you point out he's done something wrong, he's like, what did I do? Like, he's like so guilty straight away, like, I'm sorry, what did I do wrong? It's his default, is the opposite. Mine is like, no, you're wrong. His is like, oh, I'm sorry, man. And you're like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. He's like, oh, okay. So I copied that. I was like, oh, so it's not bad to be wrong, you just say I'm sorry and the fight goes away. People will come and point out your mistake, and while you defend yourself, they have so much ammo to go at you. But as soon as you go, oh, sorry, they go, that's okay. Quick, they forgive you straight away. So when you have a problem, look around for who you think would be able to solve that problem, and either observe how they might do it or put yourself in their headspace and go, how would Tim do this? I'm Tim. I'm super good at maths. Ah, accounts aren't a problem. Computers all work. This is great. Pancakes isn't hard.
Hey, computer, you now work. It's like... I said that I had a receiver, we were on OC once, I think we were at Clovelly, and he was like, oh, I might just try a thing with the weapon, and it was like amazing. And I was like, far out, like, you know, and he's like, oh, to be born with this, and it's like, oh, it's like you don't even have to practice. He's like, well, lucky one of us is born with this, otherwise we'd all be here with no ability of martial arts, like looking terrible at Clovelly. We're all laughing, we're like, yeah, lucky someone actually knows how to do this stuff. So you can appreciate it rather than like, oh, you're already born with it, you don't have to practice.
Yeah. But that's also his default. He goes, oh, see what I can do with it. It's like he puts no pressure on. But if he went up and was like, I'm sick of it, I'm going to do something awesome, there's too much pressure. Even he might make a mistake there. So he just goes, oh, see what happens, and gets up and just, oh, follow philosophy, and look what's happening, it's awesome. And I'm going to finish before I stuff it up. That's his default, man, he does it. I've seen him, because he'll get up and he'll teach me Qigong, and I'll be matching some pretty advanced stuff, and then he'll go... And I'll watch him get up there, and he'll get up there, and he's like, I see him shake and stuff, and then he like does it, and a little wobble happens, and then he stops and goes, wait, and he'll like walk away and clean it off, and he can't do it. And I'll go, you know, you do it best when you're telling me how you do it, and then you're just doing it. And he's like, oh, I have to connect to philosophy, and then boom, it all happens, and you're like, ah, you can connect to blindness too. He can. It's the same. If he doesn't concentrate on philosophy, he's right away in blindness. Just because he's sifu doesn't mean he's automatically wise. He's still got to concentrate.
Yeah, I've seen him do a form where he put on super fast light moving. I think that Joyful Bodhisattva one. It's very fast. And he went to start it, and then he was like, no. And then he did a bit of a walk around, and then he put meditation music on, did like the most awesome Qigong, almost like he melted into the space, and then reformed his body to finish the form. And he was like, I went to start that form, and then I was like a bit anxious. And I was like, oh, I need music to match that. And then as I started, it's like, oh, that makes no sense. Actually, I'm anxious. I need calm music. So
to
I can,
balance out.
To balance it out. And so then that was like, oh, interesting to see that process. Rather than, oh, find a technique that will match my current mood. Maybe my current mood is a bit, you know.
Do I really want to match this mood?
Yeah, you know. It's like some of the, I used to do that with like breakbeat music. I'm like, oh, I've got lots of energy. I put some breakbeat over that. Actually, that's not going to make much better decisions. Yeah, so you don't necessarily have to match your current mood. Maybe you actually clean out that current mood.
Because the current mood is usually from what?
Blindness.
Yeah. And which is searching heart, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got to purify that. And then we learn supreme final.
Which is?
Admit that you have negative.
Accept.
Accept
you have negative. Don't admit it. I have negative. I have negative. Walking around people in the street, I am negative!
Except we have negative and...
Don't add negative to your negative.
Don't multiply it.
Don't multiply it. And then, once we've done that...
Don't bring
negative. Don't bring it to others. Simple, right? Yay.
Yay. Any questions before we wrap that up?
So that was just the three?
And fourth is, when you do that, you're already living in the first level of not following blindness.
Why is that called supreme fun?
But the supreme final is that once you do that, you are what? Beginning no. with, we are...
Oh.
Yes. Mm. And from that base, we can create...
Forge on a heart. I got one!
Yeah. And that,
I am negative!
And if you can do that, that is the final. Every second you can do that, then and that's your ability, and you never leave that ability, wow, I'd love to have that.
Do you remember the philosophy of Tao as well? The final is the path.
Oh, yes.
So if you can do that, that's the final, not following blindness. If you can do that in every present, that's the path to one day becoming Buddha. You're already in that process. The path and the goal are united as one. Because if you're not following blindness, you're not going to go backwards. If your blindness is, oh, I don't feel like reading philosophy, and you have the ability to not follow that and instead change it, and you read philosophy and you do Tai Chi and you like actually develop yourself, you're going to get higher level. So the path and the goal become united. But if you don't have that final, that perfect goal to work towards, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Down. Level will just constantly drop. Yeah, thanks for coming again today, guys. It was really cool. We had a great time, a lot of laughter. Go practice all your new wisdoms and enjoy life.
Yeah, there's lots of different philosophies on there. Go to the blog, www.secrettruthoflife.com.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys. Enjoy.